Hi guys, this is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place where you can be taught the truth and encouraged in your relationship with Him. If you find this podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. You'll find a few different kinds of material on the podcast. Most episodes will be teachings that have been recorded in many different settings, including discipleship classes, missionary training schools, Bible schools, and church conferences. You'll also find episodes where Stephanie and I talk about practical life topics and invite you to listen to our own process and perspectives on how we experience Jesus on a daily basis in every area of our lives. We also have some episodes that include interviews with special guests who will share from their own experiences with the Lord. Altogether, we believe this podcast will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and that you will be strengthened in your own relationship with Jesus. Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode on Equippers International Podcast. Today, I've got another special guest, a very, very dear friend and brother in the Lord. Can't say enough about this guy, Mr. Rick Montgomery. And Rick and I are just going to hang out together and chat a little bit. So as always, we're not really sure what the topic is going to end up being, but we're just going to have fun doing what we do a lot of, just sitting around pontificating on very profound things. So maybe we'll get there somewhere here along the way. But Rick, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Cliff.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here. So we're just spending some time at Rick and Judy's house this week, and so I thought we would take some time to put together a little podcast. And I tell you what, let's start and let's just get to know Rick a little bit. Rick and I go back, I don't know, it's been almost 30 years now, I think. Pretty crazy. Time flies. And Rick and I have had some pretty awesome experiences together in the ministry and in life, walking through lots of stuff. Rick, you've been a pastor, you've been an elder, you've been a missionary. You are all those things, right? I mean, share with us just a little bit about 30-second overview of Rick Mont in the ministry realm, what you've done and what that's looked like.
Well, I was an associate pastor starting in about 1997, and at one church in Texas, and then we moved back to our home church, which was back then it was James Avenue Church, and somewhere in around 2004 or something, I also was an associate pastor there. I started going to Africa with Cliff, I think, was it 2000?
It was 2000.
It was 2000.
I messed you up pretty bad.
Yeah. I went to, South Africa to Worcester, South Africa with Cliff in 2000. And then about a year or so later, the trip that really messed me up was going to Nairobi, Kenya.
Yeah.
And
that's a great story.
Yeah. Texas is a huge place. I tell people that you can fit Rwanda, the nation of Rwanda, into Texas about 26 times. You can put Kenya into Texas 1.25 times. And that was really one of the few times that I had actually been out of the state of Texas.
Wow.
And I was wound up pretty tight.
So Rick was way outside his comfort zone. And as I have memory of his story, He was just pretty much wanting to be home. He didn't want to be where he was.
That is very true.
And some old African pastor walks up to him and gives him a prophetic word.
Yeah, he did. But let me digress just a touch.
Yeah.
I was in a new nation. The roads were horrific. One thing that I remembered was that the fences around people's houses had broken glass put on top of it.
That's right.
And I figured that was probably to keep people out. Come to find out, it was to keep the rats out. And we were staying in some compound, sleeping under mosquito nets. I'd never done that. So I was just, I could not relax. I'd carried $7,000 in my boot.
Oh, my.
Cliff was carrying $7,000. Another gentleman was carrying $7,000. And we went to the place where you exchange money. So we all walked out with two huge bags full of Kenya shillings.
Yeah, it's like something from Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, my gosh. Someone's about to rob me. Somebody's about to kill me or something for all of this money.
That's hilarious. So this old boy walks up to you.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere. You never met the guy before.
No, one of these pastors, Kenyan pastors, and you can always, you know, you can tell that these gentlemen do not have a lot of money. And we were walking and we crossed paths, and of course we stopped and shook hands, and he told me, he just prophetically spoke to me after exchanging greetings. He said, I think you will come here again and again and again. And I thought to myself, sir, I don't even want to be here now.
And so that was in, I think that was 2000. Your first trip to Booster, I think, was like 98 or something with me. Anyway,
yeah,
so it's from 2000. So from that time, we're 2021 now. How many times have you been to Kenya?
I've been to Kenya every year since 2009. So I really haven't counted it up.
Wow, a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Every year, once or twice since 2009, with the exception of last year.
Yeah, of
with
course.
The COVID,
yeah. So as God would have it, not fate, right? As God would have it, the course of your life, the Lord has some stuff for you in Kenya.
Yes.
Now let's go down. Let's bore down a little deeper into your journey, because there were some things that happened in your life and in your family's life a few years back that really impacted you and
right.
your family, and which has really set the course for some things that are in your heart and what you've been doing in
mm-hmm.
Kenya
mm-hmm.
and other places of the world. Can you just share about
yeah.
that real quick?
I sure can. Would you mind if I digress just one more
yeah,
time?
Yeah, go for it.
So when we came back in 2000, when I came back to Texas, I did not think about Kenya another single time.
Mm.
I didn't think I would go back. I didn't have any desire to go back. But, you know, God has a way of bringing about his purposes
That's
in
right.
our life. And we met a young couple that had a profound desire to minister to children in the slums and teenagers. And we started going back to Kenya in 2009. Before I went back, I had a dream.
Mm.
I dreamed that I was sitting at white picnic tables under a grove of trees. And in this dream, I looked out and there were tents with multiple peaks, kind of like a circus tent. And that I dreamed that before I went to Kenya in 2009.
Mm, interesting.
When we got there, our friends Les and Twyla Brickman, who are missionaries in Kenya.
That was Rick's alarm.
Sorry,
guys. We totally went offline, but you know he forgot to make a technological adjustment.
It may come back on again.
No problem.
Anyway. We were there, and we were at a ministry in Nairobi, and they wanted me to meet a bishop there. And they asked me to meet down by the offices under the grove of trees. And when we were with that bishop there in Nairobi, I realized I was sitting at white picnic tables under a grove of trees, and beyond that place were circus tents.
Wow.
The ministry had brought in circus tents to feed about 800 pastors.
Wow.
And as I was sitting under that grove of trees, I realized that dream that I had was literally happening. And I've had that happen four times. And what that tells me is that God has a plan. I'm in the right place at the right time, and that I've got favor
yeah.
in that nation. That's
Amen.
What that told me.
Amen. Amen.
So
fast forward.
Okay, fast forward in 2014, we found out that our grandson, Zebediah Lee Montgomery, we found out that Zeb had cancer. He had acute myeloid leukemia. Mm-hmm. We found out just about right around Mother's Day of 2014, and we fought, Zeb's mom and dad, we all fought for his life for 18 months, and we thought we had beaten it three times. Mm. When it came back in 2015, the last time in August, we thought that we had, that the protocol from St. Jude's Hospital, Children's Hospital, we thought that we had beat this cancer again, and we were elated, but it did come back. And Zeb's grandmother, Judy,
your wife,
we call it wrestling with God. Mm. And there was a night during that time that very quickly after we learned that it had come back, that she wrestled with God all night long. And she just said, God, what is Zeb's vision for living? Because when you're sick, your world gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And and Zeb's world had gotten so small. So we had him over to our house during that time, and actually it was 3 months before Zeb passed away. Mm. We had Zeb over to our house and we shot him that vision, because Zeb was a soccer player, he was a giver, he was an artist. We had him over to the house and we shot the vision of when he got well, he could go to places, ask for soccer balls, they could give us soccer balls, and we would just send him somewhere, wherever he wanted to go. And he said, well, I want to do that.
Mm.
And said, Zeb, you can call it anything you want to call it. He said, I want to call it Zeb's Foundation.
Awesome.
You can. It doesn't matter if there's 5 soccer balls, 50 soccer balls, 500, 5,000. If God is with us, he'll make it happen. And you can send them anywhere you want to send them. He said, I want to send them where Grandpa goes. And at that time, that was mainly Kenya. We said, that afternoon when his grandma Judy took him home, he said, Grandma, this has been a good day.
Mm.
So fast forward about 3 months, Zeb did not, he went home to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And we invited people to bring soccer balls to Zeb's funeral. When we walked in that morning, it took our breath away, because there were about 800, there was exactly 834 soccer balls given that day at Zeb's funeral. Another 1,200 soccer balls came in the following week, and we sent the very first soccer ball to Kenya. In 23 days, that soccer ball was in northern Kenya, and we have a picture, one of our very favorite pictures, of the kids holding the soccer ball. We had literally just written Zeb's name on the soccer ball.
Wow.
So that was the seed, and that was the beginning of Zeb's Foundation.
Yeah.
And now we have sent out about 7,000 soccer balls to, I think, 40 different nations.
Mm, wow. That's amazing. I can remember in the early days, you know, you sharing that vision and sharing what you guys were doing, and you were like, you know, Cliff, we're not ambitious for this thing. We have no idea what God's going to do with it. And we thought those first soccer balls would go out and that might be the end of it. And, you know, but God has just breathed on it, you know, and Zeb's Foundation today is really doing a beautiful work, and just touching kids' lives and showing love. You use Zeb's story, right?
Yeah, yes.
As a platform,
yes,
to share the gospel.
Yes.
That's obviously your heart. And it's just an amazing thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the episode, we'll just give you Zeb Foundation website contacts and stuff if you want to go check out that awesome ministry and what they're doing there. In addition to Zeb's Foundation, you also are president of Rick Montgomery Missions.
Yes, Rick Montgomery Missions.
And so that kind of line of work, what's in your heart in regards to being into the nations and helping the body of Christ, or, you know, I know you've got some things to share there.
Yeah. Well, I have a heart because of my growing up in the mid and late 50s, early 60s in Texas, in rural Texas. There was quite a bit of wounding of my heart in my life. I love my family. I love my dad and my mom. My dad drank quite a bit, or at least every few months he would really go on a binge.
Yeah.
And so growing up in, I feel like, was an alcoholic family created quite a bit of wounding in my life, and it took a long time before those wounds were healed in my heart. And so I experienced a good bit of anger and rage in my life, and I would have explosions, and it would within my life and in my family, and I would think, God, what is wrong with me? And I would do my best to repent of those of that anger and rage and that episode, and it would come back, and there would be another explosion, and I would repent, and it just would not, I just could not get any victory over that. And actually, I just gave up. I didn't think it was, I didn't think I would ever change. And one day in my 40s, I guess, I had there was another issue that caused me to be angry. And I said, God, what is wrong with me? And right then, I had a memory of something that happened when I was probably 5 years old. And I remembered being in my front yard with my brother. And I love my brother, and he's a great big brother. But he would want to put on boxing gloves. And he was 8 years older than me, so you know who won those.
Yeah, right.
Fights or those boxing matches. And he would reach out and, you know, not with a doubled up fist, but with an open glove, and not extremely hard or anything like that. But he would reach out and just kind of hit me in my face, and eventually I would get so angry that, and he would put his hand on my head, and he would be smiling if not laughing, and I would be enraged, and I would be trying to hit him, and I couldn't, and it would just send me into a spell of anger and rage. Yeah. And the Lord showed me that that was where my anger and rage began in my life at age 5.
Wow.
And I don't know why, but there was something about knowing where it began that honestly, a little 5-year-old boy is not, you can't hardly hold him totally accountable for things that happen in his life that are beyond his control. And somewhat, I guess it was being overpowered.
Yeah.
And I found that later in my life, any time that I felt overpowered, that same desire to stand up and fight would just, that's what I would experience. But that day when I said, God, what is wrong with me? And the Lord took me back to that time in my life in our front yard back in rural Texas. We lived on a dirt road, and my brother and I were out in the front yard. That memory was healed.
Wow.
And I'm not dead.
Sure.
So I do still experience anger, sure, but that healed my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so my desire now in wherever I am, but especially in going overseas to Africa, it just seems like that's where God has given me a heart for more, is that I have a desire to reach out to the poor, the broken, and the helpless and help them encounter the person, the presence, the power, the plan, the purpose, and the provision of God.
Wow.
And it's the way I define helplessness is those who are stuck in their lives because of past wounding and they can't get past it.
Wow. Whoa.
I know that's a lot.
That's a lot, bro. I got so many directions I want to go with this. Let me just segue and say this quickly. Rick and Judy Montgomery, these dear, dear friends of ours, they are some of the most authentic relational people that you'll ever meet, and they have a beautiful capacity to minister healing to people's lives. We've seen it happen. We've seen it firsthand. Their ability to teach and to impart healing principles, healing processes in the lives of people is a beautiful thing. I also want to back up and say one more thing about this podcast. Guys, I just want to say, this is unscripted, okay? We're on the fly here, but I just want to thank Rick for being just authentic. And see, this is what we're all about in this time, is bringing to you tools, teachings, testimonies. You know, we're getting into all kind of T's and P's and alliterations here. But guys, this time is real. And so what I want to do is just move from this place into talking about the importance of the reality of Jesus in our lives. You know, those of you that know me, you know I'm a biblical guy. I use the word theologians very loosely. I like deep thinking stuff. I love the word. I love digging into truth. Rick's the same kind of guy. You know, we love to sit around and talk about the scriptures and talk about the kingdom and about the end times and about identity and about the work of the cross. And, you know, some of these things that might bore some of you listeners, but in it, there's life, you know. So, but at the end of the day, our process of engaging the truth in a very, I'll say, objective way, you know, reading the scriptures, saying, okay, this is what God says, you know, that's a powerful process. And that can really help us along the road of growth and maturity and development. And I don't want to use the word but, because it really is another side of the same coin. That's kind of a phrase I've picked up by a couple guys I've read. You know, the truth of God is always yes and yes, right? I mean, a lot of times we like absolutes, Rick. We like, that's no and that's yes. No. Well, usually God is yes and yes. So yes, the truth, but yes, also this subjective personal journey. It has to. Mm-hmm. And it hits us sometimes at the deepest levels. It should. And it hits us at the personal levels. It hits us at the uncomfortable levels. And, you know, we just need to be willing to go there.
We have to be.
Yeah. And the beauty of it, right, is that we meet the Lord there.
Totally. That's what I would.
Yeah.
If I could just say one more thing.
Yeah, please.
It came to me one time when I was teaching in this about this, about being healed.
Right.
That I realized that on a timeline, if we put our life on a timeline, you know, you got the beginning and you got the end. There is, and I am now 66 years old, so I am somewhere around two-thirds of the way, maybe a little less, a little more, but two-thirds of the way. But God, everything about our life is present to God because Amen. He sees our life. He sees everything from the beginning to the end.
Right.
And he sees my life and he sees your life from beginning to end. And one time as I was teaching about this, I realized that my five-year-old life, when I was out in the front yard with my brother experiencing these things, that was still present to God.
Yeah.
It was present. And that what was the beautiful thing about that was that it was present to God, and Jesus was still present right there.
Yes.
At that time, it was still his present. It was my past, but his present.
Yeah.
And he was willing. That little boy was still alive in Rick.
Yeah.
Because that little boy, that little boy was still being provoked to anger and rage by things that he was feeling overpowered and overwhelmed by.
Yeah.
And Jesus was right there, willing, ready, and able to heal little Rick.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, that's what happened.
Yeah. You know what comes to my mind when you say that is the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember back, we walked yesterday on the seminary campus. We're here in Fort Worth now. And that brought back lots of memories of those days. And I walked past the building there and I told Stephanie, I said, right inside that door, I took a Old Testament survey with Boo Heflin. And Boo Heflin was a professor at the seminary. And this man just had a passion for the Old Testament. And I can remember being so mesmerized by this man's lecture on Exodus when Moses was talking to God at the burning bush and his explanation of I am. You know, and the scholars try to wrap their head around this Hebrew concept, this word, this idea of God. You know, and we can't even get to it, but it's something to do with that I am who I am in all places at all times. It's a timeless thing, and Jesus steps on the scene and with his great I am statements. You know that. The reality is Jesus is in all those places in our lives. And that's something that I've really seen Rick and Judy walk in, is just that ability to lead people in those places of healing and recognizing that Jesus was there, will always be there to minister healing. I love Rick's got a favorite. He's got lots of favorite verses but one of your favorite verses, and you can quote it for me, is the verse, I've not come for the well.
Mm-hmm.
But quote that verse to me.
Well, you know, the Pharisees were chastising Jesus for eating with the publicans and sinners, with the tax collectors and sinners.
Right.
And Jesus said, I always get it, I get it mixed up. But he said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Right.
I've not come for those who are well, but for those who are sick.
Yeah, that's so good, man. So good. Mm-hmm. You know, we were sharing yesterday in a time, and I was just sharing about how recently, through a couple events, I watched actually a movie recently, and it just stirred some things in me. And I was sharing with Rick that I've just personally kind of revisited in my own heart my own conversion experience, and I was just a really bad guy. I mean, people that know me now think I'm all sophisticated and mature, and I don't know what they think about me, but but I was really messed up. I mean, I was a drug addict, and I was a hellion, and I was an angry guy. I was frustrated. I was opinionated and prideful, and on and on and on it goes. And, you know, I was sick, and Jesus met me in that place, you know, and he changed me.
Mm-hmm.
He changed me then. He's been changing me, and he's still going to change me, you know. But I think, you know, and we were just talking about how look, there's no comparison. We don't compare our journeys, right? There's no comparison about well, I grew up in church and I was never a bad person. I never did drugs and I never drank and I never had violent what this and immoral activity. And I, praise the Lord, that's an awesome testimony. But we were talking about how really it's really necessary for the revelation of God, at least for him to show us our sickness.
Right.
Right?
I believe that.
And so, I don't even know where to go with that. I just think that the Lord just really wants to encourage. I don't know. I sense that there's, I think somebody's going to listen to this podcast. Actually, I don't know what that's so strong in my heart right now. I actually feel the anointing in the room. And I feel like that there's somebody who's going to listen to this and you're just going to know and be encouraged that in your brokenness, in your sickness, physical, emotional, your past, what you're walking through now, that Jesus is present, ready
Amen.
To heal.
Yes.
You know?
He is.
And so I don't know. Does anything else come to your
mind?
Well,
I was just thinking of, you know, you were talking about God is I am. Mm. One of the other, it's actually Judy that has, my wife Judy, that has brought this to my attention. But the thing that God said to Hagar when Abraham cast her out and she took her son Ishmael and went out into the wilderness, and she was there and just preparing to die. And God came to her and said that I am the God who sees.
Yeah.
And what I have realized, and I am so thankful, is that God sees who we are, where we are, why we are the person that we are, and he has compassion. You would have thought that, you know, having been cast out of Abraham's house, that God was against Hagar, but he was not.
No, he wasn't.
And he said to her, I am the God who sees, and he is the God who has compassion, and he is there, ready, willing, and able to touch you, touch us, with his healing power, and he has grace and compassion. He's slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness.
Yes.
And he is ready, willing, and able to touch your life.
Absolutely.
And I'm so thankful for that.
So thankful for that, bro. Wow. Because we need it. We need it so desperately. Well, I don't know. This is a good little time we've had. I think it's good.
What I would like to, I have felt the invitation of the Lord many times, and I would like to just simply invite you where you are to ask the Lord, where did my pain begin? And so many times it began in our very early years, and it creates that spot in your heart, your soul, your human spirit that was wounded actually. And I just feel like the Lord wants to invite you to ask him, Lord, where did my pain begin? And ask the Lord, what is he putting his finger on in your life today?
Yeah.
And as that revelation comes to you, you can know that God is there and willing and able and ready to heal your heart.
That's so good. That's so good. I was with a men's meeting last night over in North Dallas, and one of the young men I was ministering to, the Holy Spirit just had me to ask him these two questions. I don't know why. I said, I just think you're supposed to journey with these two questions. Well, the first one is very much what you just said, but it was couched in these words. The Lord asked me to ask him, where is your greatest disappointment?
Mm-hmm.
Where's your source of pain?
Yeah.
And he got very emotional, and, you know, as the Holy Spirit starts working. And then I said, and then the other thing the Lord wants you to journey with is, where's your passion?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I feel like the Holy Spirit, as you were talking, I feel like the Lord was just reminding me last night. I saw so clearly in this young man's life, and I think it's quite a familiar process in all our lives, is there is something very much in all our hearts mm-hmm. that God has deposited.
Absolutely.
For His glory, for purpose in our lives, for us to be passionate about.
Absolutely.
And but there's also pain. And mm-hmm. What I saw last night, specifically in this young man's life, which I thought was a pretty general theme, is that a lot of times we're tethered mm-hmm. to that pain.
Yeah.
That in it holds us. It's almost like I saw a picture of like a bungee. It's mm-hmm. like you could go yeah. so far into your passion,
right?
But then you're just drawn back again.
It's like we get jerked back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so I just really want to trust the Lord in my own life. The journey continues, that I'm just more free mm-hmm. of that stuff. I think we are. We're getting very
Absolutely.
Free, and I'm thankful
yeah.
for that. And my encouragement, you know, we're both sitting here bald-headed and getting older. So there is some advantage to growing old if you love Jesus and just pursue Him with all your heart.
Absolutely.
Like I know Rick
yeah.
does, and you know, Judy and Stephanie and I, and you know, there's no turning back. We're all in. But for those maybe that are younger or in the journey earlier in life, you know, we just want to encourage you, there can be the healing. There can
Amen.
There can be the breaking of that tether, and you can really launch into
Amen.
Your passion,
yes.
your design,
Amen.
Your purpose, you know,
yeah.
whatever that looks like, you know. And so I think that's the encouragement that we want to offer today.
Mm-hmm. Could yep. I make a suggestion?
Yeah, go for it.
As you are before the Lord asking Him, where did my pain begin? And Lord, where are you putting your finger on in my life? I just want to encourage you to do that.
Yeah.
And then journal out whatever it is that the Lord is bringing to mind.
That's good.
To your mind.
That's good.
And then what I would like to suggest, Cliff, and it's totally up to you, but it could be that there would be another podcast. Mm. And the person that I learned from in this ministry is my wife, Judy.
Well, that's a strong confirmation, because I was getting ready to suggest that we're going to do an episode with Judy.
Absolutely.
We're going to do it. We're going to get her here, sit down at the table. She's going to be uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, she's a well, a deep, deep well.
I sat with Judy, I think it was probably 20 to 40 times, and I was the person who was writing out, as she was having a ministry session with somebody, I began to write out what was her approach. That wasn't my intention, but I just began to realize that there's about five steps that she would lead a person through.
Yeah.
And it was all new to her every time. It was all a creative process and all being led by the Spirit.
Sure.
But there was a process.
Yes.
And so I just wrote those out.
That's awesome.
And I began to, as she was leading individuals through this process, I began to use this process with groups of people.
That's,
as I would go to
cool.
Africa, and I would literally lead hundreds of people, maybe
wow.
400 or 500
yeah.
people through
yeah.
this process. What I would like to suggest, Cliff, is that you have Judy on and let her somehow lead the people in this
yes.
audience
yeah.
through that prayer of healing.
We're going to do that.
And after they have asked the Lord, where did my pain begin and what are you putting your finger on, then Judy will be able, the Holy Spirit will use Judy
yeah,
to lead
I
them through
that
prayer
so guys,
for
this,
healing.
So guys, this is part one. This is part one of a two-part episode with Rick and Judy Montgomery. We're going to wrap up this episode. We're going to do a little bit of advert. Give us the details about Zeb's Foundation.
Yeah.
Website, yeah. Facebook,
yeah.
whatever.
Zeb, website is Zebstrong, ZebStrong.com.
Cool.
You can go there and read our story and just find out what we're doing.
Yeah.
We also have a Facebook page called Zeb's Foundation.
Great. So if you know people that have a passion for soccer, football, as the rest of the world calls it, if you got some contacts overseas, you know, who knows? We can't, Zebs can't, Foundation can't do everything, but they're open to at least sending balls. They got a new initiative they're running right now for used cleats for kids in America that go through cleats. They, you know, kids grow quick. You know, they go through a shoe size of a year when they're that age, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14 years old. Their feet grow like crazy. And they have cleats in their closet that they haven't used. Bring those cleats, and then they're going to ship them all over the world because there's tons of kids playing football barefooted.
Right.
In all parts of the world. Yeah. And that's so cool. It's exciting. Man, we could talk about Zebs Foundation a lot. There's just so much going on. But Rick, thanks so much.
Thank you, Cliff.
It's been awesome. And until next time, guys, yeah, bless you. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. And we look forward to seeing you soon. God bless.